Thank you ever so much, Andre. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Review Working Party Conference on the 7th of August 2014. On the call today, we have Klaus Stoll, Jennifer Wolf, Philip Shepherd, Ron Andres, Chuck Stones, and Stefan Van Gelder. We have guest speakers Colin Jackson and Richard Westlake with us. We receive no apologies for today's call. From staff, we have Larissa Gernick, Matt Astiani, Glenda Sanzeri, and myself, Natalie Pogan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Jen.
Thanks. This is Jen Wolf. Welcome to you all. Thanks again for taking time for these calls every other week. We really appreciate it, and I appreciate all the discussion on the list. I think we continue to have really good feedback and appreciate everyone taking the time to test the survey and provide some meaningful feedback. On our agenda today, we're going to get an update from staff on the launch process in terms of time frame and what's happening, the webinar that's scheduled, and then Richard Westlake will be providing an update as well in terms of the documentation review and interviews, and then we'll have an opportunity to provide any additional feedback. So with that, I will turn it over to Matt to give us an update on the launch process.
Hi, everybody. This is Matt Astiani. I just want to give everybody a quick update on what's happening. So we've successfully launched the GNSO 360 review. I say successfully because we actually have already had some surveys completed. We had quite a few completed within less than 24 hours of the survey. So far it looks as if everything is going on track. As a general reminder to everyone, the survey closes the 10th of September. So please share the SurveyMonkey link, which I'll place into the chat in a second, with your constituencies and help spread the word. In terms of the GNSO webinar, we're actually going to have it next week on the 12th and 13th, I believe, and it's going to be a duplicate session, so please be sure to join that. I'll put the event times and dates into the chat in one moment. I think the more attendees we have on that would be better to help increase participation. And also, again, please feel free to spread the word amongst your constituencies.
Thanks, Matt. And so are we still open to extending that time if there continues to be concerns about the August holiday time frame?
Jen, this is Larissa Gernick. Absolutely. The Westlake team and staff are obviously monitoring the responses very carefully. We're just at the start of it, and we'll continue to get regular updates and provide this group with some statistics on a regular basis. And then we'll determine where we're at in early September, and if need be, we will absolutely extend the survey.
And you know, is there a specific number that you've determined is the appropriate number to receive by that point? And then I see we have some hands up too, but I'll just pose that question and then.
I will ask Richard Westlake if he would take on that call. We've had some preliminary conversations about this, and I think he's in a better position to respond to that. Richard, would you?
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. It's Richard Westlake here. Firstly, can I just introduce my colleague, Colin Jackson, who's also on the line, whom some of you won't have met before. Some of you may know him. Colin?
Hello, everybody.
Look, we have had several discussions on what is an appropriate minimum number, but I think it's difficult to just say a single number because it's the depth as well as the breadth as well as the experience and who is responding. At the moment, just to give you a little bit of background, I had a quick look this morning, about 33 people have at least started the review. Some of those are people who are clearly just having a look and have either flipped through or started and then gone away again. It looks as if many people who've had a look at the first time are, for example, young fellows or people like that who don't have a lot of experience or exposure to ICANN but are just curious. But we have, as far as I can see, somewhere about a dozen people who have made a serious attempt and gone right through the survey at the moment. We're seeing a spread by constituencies and by groups, and I think as we watch those build up, whether we can say there is a valid range in each case is difficult at the moment, because once you start to break it down by both constituencies and groups and constituencies, you're potentially getting into very small numbers. And I think it also depends on the consistency of the responses. So we're reluctant to put a single number through at this stage, but just to, we're following this. Colin, you and I, we've had these discussions. And could I ask you if you wanted to comment any further on that?
Yes, thank you, Richard. This is Colin Jones speaking. Obviously, there are quite a number of subgroups that we would wish to see responses from. So seeing we would want to see 50 or 100 or 200 responses overall isn't really the point. The point is, how can we ensure that we get at least a few different constituencies, stakeholder group, etc., so that hopefully we can build some kind of overall picture of what's going on. Ideally, we'd like, obviously, several hundred responses, but I don't think we can be any more specific than that.
Thank you. Chuck, I know you've been waiting. Chuck and Ron are in the queue, so Chuck, you're up first.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks, guys, for the update. I confess that I'm surprised that the survey is scheduled to end on September 10th. I'm glad that it can be extended, but based on the comments I saw on the list, we all know from experience of many years that August is a terrible month for participation. So I think it's unfortunate that we cut it off so early. I thought we were going to use most of September. But anyway, we can deal with that via an extension. I'm glad to hear they're looking not only at numbers of responses of total responses, but I think it's just as important, as was just pointed out, to do it by the different categories so that we have hopefully statistically significant participation from each of the major categories. So I'm glad that we're looking at that because I think that's really important. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. Ron?
Thank you very much, Jennifer. I want to support what was just said by my colleague, Chuck. I'm concerned about that date, the 10th. I think we should just immediately open it up to the end of September. I don't know why we want to wait and why we would put the September 10th. In the United States, and like one could almost say in North America, we have Labor Day weekend coming up also in the beginning of September. So August through the first 4, 5, 6 days of September, these are all of Europe is away in August, and certainly Labor Day weekend eats up a lot. So I think what we're doing is shooting ourselves in the foot with that. My recommendation to the committee would be that we would extend it immediately to a later date in September. I think that's really important. And I think in the beginning of September, after the Labor Day weekend, particularly in this part of the world, we could re-ring the bell again and say, you know, this has been open for a while. We really are going to be closing in a couple of weeks. We need everyone to come in and give us our comments. And that kind of leads me to my second point. I'm a little surprised. I don't know. I didn't have any number in my mind when we started this work, but a few hundred responses for a GNSO review sounds like a very small number to me. I don't know how my colleagues on the committee feel, but it seems to me that I would have hoped we were seeing many more hundreds, but I don't know the answer to that question. And so I'd like to see that discussed a little more in detail. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. I think there's definitely been some consensus on the date issue. So, Larissa and Richard, I think we should be prepared to extend that time frame because I think that was a pretty big consensus from our last call as well. So unless there is any opposition to that, sounds like the recommendation of the committee would be to move forward. Stefan, I see you have an X symbol up. I'm not sure what that means, but let me go ahead and turn it over to you.
Thanks, Jen. What I'm trying to do is raise my hand, but I seem to be failing at that, which probably brings into question my ability to comment on anything, but try and clear that anyway. I wondered a couple of things. I wondered, first of all, whilst we have the independent review on the phone, if there's any avenue for modifying the survey on the fly. What I mean by that is that I've seen some comments that the survey does not take any account of working groups, And without going into what the group feels, whether the group feels that is correct or not correct, or something that we should address, it made me want to ask the question of, you know, if there's any stage we feel that we've missed something in building this survey, can we add to it, or is this, once it's started, it's a train that can't be stopped? So that's one question. The other thing is, I would agree that this is probably not the best time to do a survey anyway, and so I would just support what's been said about extending the deadline. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. Larissa, I see you have your hand up.
Thanks, Jen. This is Larissa Gernick. I wanted to respond to several comments. First of all, the next item on the agenda that we were hoping to discuss is actually for Richard and his team to provide some feedback and some rationale on various aspects of the survey that were included perhaps differently or reflected differently than some of the discussions that and the recommendations that this group made. Working groups was one of those areas, and I will let Richard take you through our rationale. But I also wanted to remind everybody that the survey is one of several data collection elements, and in addition to the survey, which will inform the rest of the work that the independent examiner is conducting, there is a review of key documents and information, as well as interviews. So it's those three components together that will be used to make sure that the independent examiner has a broad and full set of information to make their conclusions. And in terms of the working groups, in particular, because of the complexity and the balance between trying to get answers to fairly complex issues that may not be well understood by everybody responding, and the desire to keep the survey reasonably brief to encourage the greatest participation. So it was that balance that resulted in what Richard's going to walk you through. So as far as the timing of the survey, would the group how would the group feel about waiting until the webinars take place next week and some other outreach and engagement activities take hold, and perhaps revisiting the postponement of the deadline at the next call within 2 weeks? So that would give us a chance to see the kind of responses that are being collected and reassessed. And part of the reason for, in my mind, for keeping the deadline as it is now is just to let people know, encourage people to take the steps and complete the survey sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. Ron, I see you have your hand up.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks, Larissa, for those clarifications. A couple of things came up in my mind as you were speaking, and one is that, speaking to your last point first about webinars and waiting on the timing to extend until the webinars, I think a lot of people aren't going to even be around for those webinars. If they're in Europe or North America, most of people are just kind of, this is the downtime, and they're not checking mail, and they're certainly not looking to do surveys or go to webinars in this time period. I think we're going to probably have to do webinars in September. Just because people are away and they're just going to come back and delete large blocks of mail right out of their mail systems. So for my part, you know, I really feel that whatever work we're doing now, we're going to have to replicate it in September. There's little doubt about that, just because people are away. The second point I wanted to bring forward was Stefan had mentioned, and I don't want to, maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but Stefan had mentioned about working groups. And that was kind of how we left it just before we closed the assessment, the survey itself. Chuck and I were kind of working through, and others, trying to find the language for that we could include with regard to working groups. And so maybe it is already in the survey, and so I just would like to make sure that we have included working groups in the survey. And if we haven't, then that is something we need to get in there, because we moved from the last review to a working group model. And it would be kind of absurd that we wouldn't ask how that model functioned in this review. So perhaps you can give me just a quick answer on that. And if, in fact, it is further in here and Richard's going to go through that, that would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Stefan.
You can't hear me, right?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Right, okay. Thanks, Ron, for that. I didn't know, I wasn't on the last call, so I didn't know that working groups had been discussed, which is probably, my understanding is that they're not in the survey, so that's probably a miss somewhere. I think our discussions so far also beg the overall question to be asked of, what do we deem a successful result for this survey? I mean, there may not be a metric for success. It may just be something that we feel should be done, and we either don't feel qualified or equipped to determine whether it is a successful exercise or not. But with all this discussion about poor participation, timeline, and content, I think it may be up to this group to also determine some kind of measure of success of this survey. Otherwise, it may just be seen as an empty exercise. I have no idea how to do this. It's just I'm brainstorming. Thank you.
Jen, could I get the answer from the question I asked? This is Ron speaking with regard to Larissa. Did we include the comment, the questions about working group or not? Thank you.
This is Larissa. There was one question included on the working group, and then I would like to have Richard step in at this point and walk you through the rationale and the logic on the working groups. Richard, are you prepared to do that?
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Larissa. Richard Westlake here, and again, I will ask Colin to comment further. We had a lot of discussion on this following the last of these conference calls, and we had included, as Larissa says, we have included one relatively broad question about working groups, but everything we had understood is that the range and the style of working groups varies quite significantly. And it was very difficult to capture, we felt, in a small to reasonable number of questions or statements, enough that would give us valid responses without breaking the survey down into an almost infinite number of subcomponents. So we believe that there are two things we plan to do. One is the desk review to look at how they have operated and looking at a range of the working groups. And secondly, we think that is absolutely one of the key aspects that we wish to cover during the face-to-face interviews. Thank you, Larissa. Colin?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Colin Jackson. I'm ready here to talk about the survey and about some of the detail here about the decisions that were made in the run-up to its launch, about what has been included and what's been excluded. I would acknowledge my colleague Richard's comments about the working groups note that in the quest for some kind of significance, breaking it down as far as working groups would make that even more problematic. We already have a questionnaire of some 90-odd questions. If we tried to split it down even further, it would get a lot more complex and large, and we had a considerable concern about compliance on that, in that whether or not people would simply throw up their hands and say this is just too much. I'm happy group would like me to do that, just to talk through the decisions that were made based on the feedback from this working group and the feedback from staff members. And this is largely based on a spreadsheet tracking change of the old. So I should note that, first of all, we had some discussion about the privacy question that opens the survey. How that has been left now is that we ask people's permission before they do anything else for us, meaning Westlake, to identify them as authors of their own feedback. We will be collating their feedback and using it anyway, but what we are asking them permission is to actually quote them by name. And that comes before anything else, for the reason that we just feel that this was something that you respondents should understand before you proceed into the questionnaire. So that's one of the questions we were given, was why isn't this mixed up with the general demographic election? Moving on from that, there are a number of textual changes that we've done, which were largely just capital letters and so forth, that we have dealt with and that I don't propose to talk through. One balance we had here was a lot of the information that we hope to gain will be, we believe, textual material, but comments that people make on the way past. As the working party will have noticed, the questionnaire effectively invites you to agree or disagree with various propositions and to comment on that. We have tried to balance the length of the text question, the text fields, with making the questionnaire just too daunting. We've tried to make that there is scope to write something, but not an entire essay, under each of these questions. That's a theme throughout the entire survey, again, as I say. There's a number of other items I'm just going to walk through here. The GNSO communications, we had a question about whether we should deal with that, and is it confusing? We're talking about GNSO seeking community feedback on proposals. In many cases, we've adopted the view that we're providing a hook, if you like, for people to submit comments based on. And if people necessarily understand the whole thing, then that in itself is worth a comment. We would like to see respondents say something like, well, this doesn't work for us, or we don't understand what's going on here, and given that we've all commented on it, that in itself will prove something, that there is a lack of shared understanding about specific points, and that would give us something that we would wish to probe on in subsequent questions. Moving on from that, we have left, there was a question from, I think, Stefan saying, should we list? We believe they're covered by advisory committees, because the GAC, of course, is composed of governments. I'm just, again, working my way down a long list here. Are you an observer or a member of, is something that gets
in common. I just want to just make sure with Aubrey and Philip, if you have questions pertaining to what he's talking about, do you want to stop and pause and ask your question?
That's a good point. I'll pause now.
I just wanted to make sure if they wanted to stop on any point before you move on. Aubrey or Philip?
It's not.
This is Aubrey speaking. My question came up before we started this walkthrough, and I just was still going to harp on the issue of the working groups. I think that was one of the biggest structural changes that were made in the last review. Now, I think it was terribly remiss of me. I was an idiot to have not thought of it. That's something that we absolutely need to have, and that without it, we won't be getting a complete picture, because that's where the bottom-up process starts. That's where the whole interaction between the GNSO and the working groups is one of the key components of the whole policy process that we're trying to review the effectiveness of. Now, I completely understand how adding it on to this survey at this point would be an extremely difficult thing to do, especially since the survey's out. But is there and I also wanted to counter the point of they're all so different. Within the PDP, within the working groups of the GNSO, there's incredible uniformity. They all work on almost the same charter basis. They all go through the same processes. They all have the same relationships to people, stakeholder groups, and constituencies. Certainly their topics are radically different, but the structure and process of them, and I've been on far too many of them to count, is extremely similar. So I'm wondering perhaps if the better part of completeness doesn't motivate us to do a separate working group specific questionnaire. It can be shorter, you know, and it can be something like that. So I'd like to basically put that on the table. As I say, I feel terrible that being as active and as involved and as supportive of working groups as the focal point of the GNSO, more important than our SGs and SCs, that I didn't bring this point up and I had to rely on one of our past members to remind me that I had been remiss. So please take that into consideration. Without it, we will not have a complete view. Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey. And I see in the chat that Chuck is agreeing with you on that point. And we do, just to remind everyone, we do have the ability as this working party that if we think any additional research or surveys are necessary, we can do that. So I think it's a good question to pose to Westlake. You know, is this an additional survey we could put out, you know, in the scope of what we're doing? And if not, then within our working party, we could certainly look at putting something out on our own. So I think that's a great point, Aubrey. Thank you. Philip, I know you've been waiting, and Larissa and Chuck, I want to make sure you have an opportunity to speak, and then we'll get back to the Westlake walkthrough of their materials. So, Philip, please go ahead.
Again, thank you very much. And just for the record, I support indeed doing some further work on working groups, as they're clearly a fundamental part of the policy development process. We have been successful including, I think, one question in this survey, which is forward-looking. And I have a question really for Richard and for Colin, that you'll be aware that the ICANN board was keen on the overall result of this review being forward-looking, and in particular looking at the question of factoring in how ICANN's new stakeholders would be a part of future policy development. And of course, you'll be aware of the huge change that's taking place in terms of moving from a handful of registries to thousands of new registries, of which many of which are of a significantly different type. Notably brands or geographical-based registries. And I just wondered what your planning was in terms of taking the little bit of feedback you'll get from the survey on forward-looking questions and then developing that in the way that the ICANN board direction was keen for you to do, for it being forward-looking in terms of the involvement of ICANN's new stakeholders who are only just coming into the process.
So were you looking for Westlake to answer that or from staff? Or?
Yes, Westlake, yeah.
Okay.
Jen, thank you. Richard Westlake here. I think, Philip, your point is absolutely right. Because it is very much forward-looking, we thought that was far better to address that type of question about the, if you like, exponential increase in stakeholder base during our interviews particularly with those who have been involved for some time and those who really do understand what is going on. The danger about putting something like that in something as broad as a survey, of course, is that for those who haven't been involved in the process of the new TLDs coming on and that massive increase, there will be a lot of speculation and probably, dare one say, not much more than personal opinion. So I think it is better addressed with those who have been more deeply involved when we come to do the interview process.
Okay, thank you for that.
And Larissa.
I wanted to respond to Avery's point, and I see that there's a couple of items in the chat. Back to the working group discussion, it seems to me that since the 360 assessment by its nature was intended to be broad and applicable to a diverse group of responders, not just people within the GNSO, I would certainly suggest that staff and the Westlake team take the questions and the feedback that we're hearing today to come up with a plan for the best way to collect information, detailed information on the working groups from the exact audience that's in the best position to provide substantive information and feedback, whether it's through survey or through some other method, and that's something that the Westlake team can provide some recommendations. But it sounds like that is a separate component of the review process that would not necessarily work best under the 360 umbrella, which is intended to be broad and applicable to a large audience. So we will take that on as an action item.
Thanks, Larissa. Chuck, your hands up.
Thanks. First of all, I want to reinforce what Avery said. I was really puzzled when I heard the statement that the working groups are of different styles. First of all, I have no idea what that means and wonder how you came to that conclusion. So that seems really strange to me. The second thing, I requested this in the chat, would you be, I think like many others, haven't had a time to look at the final survey yet. So would you please, speaking to Westlake or to Larissa, I don't care who does it, would you please read for us the one working group question that has been included, and then I'd like to comment after you do that.
Larissa, can you respond to that?
Sure. Chuck, just give us one moment. We'll pull up the questionnaire, and we'll be happy to do that.
Thank you.
While they do that, in the interest of time, why don't we allow Westlake to go back to their presentation?
That's fine.
Yes, hello, this is Colin again. I have a number of other questions that I've dealt with in the that were submitted to us during the test. One questioner or commenter said that just being an observer in a group allows you to claim that you're informed enough to comment on all subgroups, which I don't necessarily agree with. But the way we had we deliberately chose a language that said, "Are you involved with or a close observer of?" And we're allowing people to qualify themselves to answer a whole load of detailed questions about a subgroup. And by a subgroup, I mean a constituency or a stakeholder group. Our response to that was to actually clarify that in the survey, that if you answer this, yes to this, you're going to face some detailed questions on the subgroup in question. And if you answer no to it, then the survey will skip on. But we still think it's reasonably important that people effectively self-identify as being able and prepared to answer questions about a specific part of GNSO. I'll pause for comment.
Thanks,
Moving on from there, we've had comments about text fields. We greatly increased the size of the final text field. We still provide people with the option of sending us email, and we suspect we will. But we provided, as I said, a middle-sized dialogue box on most questions and a very large one at the end with a as large as we could get on SurveyMonkey, with a direction to the effect that if you had more to say than would fit in the regular dialogue box, you can put it in the final comments. There was a question about, again, from that was submitted from a tester that says, there is no question that asks about how many members or what geographic distribution a constituency has. And it goes on to comment that we didn't ask demographics on presumably stakeholder groups. And our view is that we don't think it's a good use of respondents' time to ask them questions that essentially are knowable either by desk research on the website or by asking staff for that. So we've tried to avoid simply asking people factual questions. It only really makes sense to ask people what is their view of how such and such that they have been involved with operates or is resourced, etc. We have a question about being considered by the committee at the moment. I understand Louise is looking for
Colin,
a question.
Excuse me, Colin, I beg your pardon. This is Ron, Jen. I'm just wondering if we might weigh in and just respond a little bit to what Colin's just spoken about.
Yes, yeah, sure. I know, I was just looking in the queue. I see Larissa's hand is up, and Chuck, I think those might be old hands, though. Is that right, Larissa, Chuck?
No,
or those new?
It's fine for Ron to go ahead, but my hand, remember I wanted to
was
respond
it new?
Okay. I saw the question.
Okay, I was thinking that was up on screen, too. I was trying to wait till a good moment. So, Ron, do you want to respond to something that was just said, or do you want to respond to what's on screen?
Yes, I want to speak to what Colin just said.
Go ahead. Why don't you speak to that, and then we'll switch to what's on screen.
Thank you, Colin. I think if I heard you correctly, what you're suggesting is that we want to make sure that people respond to things that they know. So, for example, I am not a registrar. I've not been part of the registrar constituency, and so therefore, as a member of the BC and a member of the CSG, I can't speak to the registrar situations, and I think it's really important that we don't have people come in and start speaking to things they don't know about, because that would really skew the survey. So this is a very important point, that people speak to things that they know about and not things that they know nothing about, because that would send this survey completely sideways. It would not give us any of the data we're looking for. So is that have I understood you correctly in that sense?
Yes, Ron, it's Colin. Yes, thank you for that point. Yes, I agree with you, and we have to, can I put it, we try to encourage people not to answer things that they don't know about, but also we do have their names, and we can and will check the affiliations they claim. So that's something we can do with the survey results as they come in. So if John Smith claims to be a member of the registry constituents and nobody here has ever heard of him, then we will bear that in mind when we're analysing his results.
Thank you very much. That's excellent. Thank you, Jen, for letting me jump the queue.
Sure. Thanks, Ron. Why don't we pause since they found the question and it's up on screen. I know Chuck and Polly Stefan may have a point on that issue. So, Chuck, you're up.
Thanks, Jen. With all due respect, I think this question is so broad that it's useless. Someone who has knows something about who is working groups would probably, and that may be all they know, may strongly disagree. Some have, and then some effective working groups may strongly agree. We won't have a clue why they strongly disagreed or strongly agreed or what was their framework for that. And there is no text box for any clarification. So my apologies for being blunt, but I personally think we'd be better off without that question than having one so broad. And I actually made a comment to that effect on the what was in there before. So that I just wanted to point that out.
Sorry, can I just jump in here, Colin here? Chuck, thank you for the feedback, and I accept what you just said about working groups in specific and in general, but I do want to comment that there's no text box. I believe that the PDF version that Larissa, I think, has put on the screen here doesn't show the text boxes, but I believe it to be present because you can see the text that says, please expand if you wish. That's as far as I'll follow up on that comment, Chuck, for now.
Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. With it, Stefan.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Slightly worried about what I heard, that we would not allow people that don't know what they're talking about to express themselves, because I just simply don't know how to measure, how we can measure whether people know what they're talking about or not. And I don't believe that, not having been a past member, to use the example that was made, given, not having been a past member of one constituency means you don't know anything about that topic. I mean, to use Ron's example, I know for a fact, because I'm in the same group as him, that he knows a lot about registrars, and indeed about registries, but he's still a BC member. I would still contend that his input on those two subjects would have some use in the context of this survey. So I'm slightly worried that we would try and determine ourselves, or the surveyors would try and determine whether people are, shall we say, qualified to respond or not. I think that the basic idea of this survey is you put it out, it's a huge fishing net, and you see what you catch. And it's up to you guys as surveyors, and I presume this is why this is part of your expertise and why you were chosen by ICANN, to then sort out the rubbish from the good stuff, I guess. But I would, you know, I would be wary of excluding those that we consider ignorant. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. Richard, I see that your hand is up next.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. The reason I put it up was simply to say we're not so much telling people they can't participate, but we are giving them the option to jump past areas that they don't, that they are comfortable to say they don't know about. At the start of each, for example, group or constituency set of questions, are you involved with or a close observer of the XYZ group or constituency? If you answer no, you skip past the detailed questions on that particular group or constituency. So it is a self-assessment as to whether an individual knows about a particular area. There is no intent, it was perhaps slightly loose language, no intent to stop people doing it, but people do have to say consciously, yes, I am involved or a close observer of, and I'm hoping that a close observer of would be an adequate answer for someone who may not be directly involved, but as the last person speaking just said, does in fact know about a particular area. I hope that clarifies that a little bit.
Thank you, Richard. Was Stefan, did you have a follow-up to that, or?
No, I just put in the chat that that helps a lot. Thanks.
Sorry, I missed your chat. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Not a problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Colin, I see your hand is up as well.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Larissa. I would also comment that because we know who people are who are responding, hopefully, for several reasons, one of which is they have presumably given us their name, and they have also told us what their involvement with VNSO is. That was one of the early questions. So, absolutely, if they are from outside the XYZ constituency, as Richard just gave an example, if they're outside that constituency and they give us opinions on it, then they may well be, they may well have validity. They almost certainly do have some validity, and we would see them as somebody side in, as opposed to somebody on the inside who might have some idea about, say, resource levels and so forth. They are presumably, if somebody's not involved in the constituency, presumably will take a view from the outside in terms of what it actually manages to achieve in the time available, or etc. So I did not mean to give the impression that we will discount the views of people who are not involved out of these groups, but we will bear in mind whether they are on the outside looking in or vice versa when we consider their feedback. That was all I was going to say on that point.
Thank you, Colin. I don't see any other hands up at the moment, and I know we have about 10 minutes left in our call, so I want to turn it back over to you, Colin. Did you have more that you needed to get through in your presentation, and we'll turn the floor back over to you.
Thank you, Larissa. There are not too many more question answers that I want to provide here, unless there are questions. The other feedback items I have here are things that we accepted and just moved on with. One question that I'll just confine myself to one further question, which is question three. Larissa, I don't know if you'd be able to put question three in the survey on the screen. This is the one that effectively is about your allegiance as a respondent. It says, that's not actually the one I was looking for. It's obviously a later question three. It's the one that says, who do you represent? So what we've done is we're trying to flush out whether people are speaking on their own behalf or whether they are speaking on behalf of some part of GNSO or whether they're speaking on behalf of a company who is external to ICANN altogether. And we came up with a form of words which I can't see on the screen here, Larissa, but it's effectively we invite to identify on this to assert that they spoke for themselves or that they spoke for, e.g., the ALAC or a private company such as a registrar, etc., etc. We felt that that was at least a bit relevant, that they could an opinion with a company behind it as opposed to an individual.
Hi, Colin.
Or whether an individual who worked for a company or... Yes?
I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Hello.
This is Larissa. I'm really sorry to interrupt, but I think it's important to clarify that the question that's on the screen, which is which has been added, question number five, does not. It's not about on whose behalf the individual is speaking on, because in most cases, I think there was agreement that people responding to the survey will most likely be speaking on their own behalf. This question is intended to indicate which group the individual falls under, and obviously they will self-identify whether they're a member of one of these community groups, a fellow, a staff, a board member, or just a member of the community, not specifically affiliated with any other group. So it's not so much that the question is intended to find out if they're speaking on behalf of that group. It just is that they come from that group, and I think that's a really, really important distinction. And if someone wants to speak on behalf of a group, then that would be reflected in question number four. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larissa.
Thank you, Larissa. Yes, that is effectively questions are what the original question had been split into. Because we're looking at a PDF, it's hard to see, but there is actually a text box under question four that effectively says if you wish to speak on behalf of somebody, please give its name here.
Thanks. And I see, Ron, you have a question on that in the chat. Is that what your hand's up for as well?
Yes, it is, Jen.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm just confused about that question. If you're responding on behalf of a group such as a part of ICANN or a company, please give its name. I don't understand that question. I am responding on behalf of a group, perhaps. I'm not sure if I'm responding on behalf of the BC. I'm really responding as an individual who's a member of the BC, which is a member of the GNSO. But I'm not responding on behalf of RNA partners. So I don't get that question at all. It doesn't make any sense for me. I'm struggling with that. But then question five asks, where do I participate? Okay, I'm participating in the GNSO, but you have to drill down to a couple of layers to get to where I'm at. So I'm not sure if we get to the specific answer that we may be looking for, or I may be completely misunderstanding this. So I welcome any clarification. Thank you.
This is Lisa. So question number four is simply intended, it's an optional question. If someone chooses to respond on behalf of a larger group so that it's not an individual response but a group response, they have the opportunity to flag that. Most people, I think this group agreed on the last call, that most people would probably be responding. Surveys are usually responded on your own behalf. You speak for yourself. And in question number five, it's just a demographic background question to help the independent examiner understand where the responder, what community the responder is coming from, to put some context around the comments and the feedback that they provide within the survey. I hope that helped. And then once we clarify this point, I was also going to suggest that perhaps if the Westlake team could briefly walk you through what their next steps are in doing the review and the kind of feedback and information that would be useful as they embark on the other elements of their review processes to make sure that they look at documentation and speak to the right individuals to help them collect the kind of information that they're looking for. That's the last item on our agenda. Thank you.
Thanks, Larissa. And so we've only got about 5 minutes left in our time today. So if Richard or Colin, if you want to provide a brief overview, and then we can quickly wrap up.
Thank you, Jen. It's Richard here. Now, you did see up earlier on the screen, you saw the list of the further information that we believe we require. And one thing we would be very keen to seek from the working group, from this working party, I should say, there we are, thank you, is we would seek your advice and input on further information that you believe we should be asking for or looking for, because as reviewers, we know some of the things that we don't know, but I hate to use the cliche, we clearly don't know what we don't know, and there is only so much you can find by walking through the labyrinth of the website. The next stage, when we've established this inventory or even sort of in parallel with it, is in fact to try and find it as what we believe are as relatively informed observers of ICANN and the GNSO. We will be looking for this information first, and the ease of access for that of that information is clearly going to be a material part of what we'll be commenting on, because it doesn't matter if the information is there. If nobody can find it, then what use is it to people? So that is one of our, if you like, process points on the way through. The other two things that we will be looking for is, well, obviously, what is the review of this documentation when we get it, and the other is then progressively, both in conjunction with our own understanding of who's involved where and working through, is whom we should be interviewing, but also looking through the survey responses, who do we need to just follow up with further and try and seek an interview with them if there are points that we believe we need to either expand on or probe more deeply. Thank you, Jen. I don't want to prolong it. But that's in summary. So it's essentially the desk review and the interview process getting underway as of now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And perhaps if that can be circulated on the list as well, then everyone can give us a thought and start to respond to some of the specific questions and points. We're coming right up at the top of the hour, and I know we've had a lot of discussion and appreciate everybody's comments. I'll just try to frame up a couple of the open issues that we discussed. In terms of the timing, I think there's some clear consensus we're going to need to extend the time frame and potentially, you know, re-promote the survey in September. But I think there was agreement that we could wait until our next call, which will be 2 weeks from now, and at that point look at where we are and make a final determination if that should be extended. But it's a clear understanding with staff and with Westlake that if that's the consensus, we can certainly extend it through the end of September. And then on the point of the working groups, I think we didn't find resolution there, so I'd like to make sure we put that on the agenda for our next call. And just within this working party, if we ultimately find we don't think the survey addressed working groups sufficiently, we can certainly create our own specific survey to put out there just on working groups and make that part of how we continue forward with our own self-assessment. So I want to make sure we keep that on our agenda for the next call. And then, of course, continuing to provide feedback to Westlake on these points raised will be part of our agenda next week as well. Larissa and Matt, I know your hands are still up. Was there anything else that you needed to say? No? Okay. Well, thank you. That brings the call to a close. I'll look forward to talking with you all 2 weeks from today.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Westlake. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much, Andre, and I'll stop the recordings.